that keep me from all sin. Now I listen. On the rock I stand today, ready to live with the choice I made. Ready to live with the choice I made.
Carl Klang. Hail the law, you mighty Christian men. Overthrow the foreign horde. Well, we haven't done that. Our fathers didn't do that. Our grandfathers didn't. And their fathers before them didn't. And we were warned back in the days of Ben Franklin, and we didn't heed that warning, and so here we are. But the law is good for those that are lawful. And that's a good thing. Well, Remnant, good evening. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It is August. What day in August is it? It is August 3rd, 2023. Time is just, I don't know what day it is. I think it's Thursday, August 3rd. There we go. And that's a good thing. Thanks for tuning in. Have some current events for you tonight. A couple scriptures I want to start out with, but several current events. I don't know if I'll get them through, but they caught my eye today. And I wanted to share them with you, kind of give you my thoughts on them. And we'll have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. If you want to give us a call, if you have a question or a comment. But we're going to open up in prayer. We always do that. I do my best. I hope you do as well. We try to encourage you to do that, to start your events, start your day, start whatever you're doing in prayer. Hope you start your day that way. I hope you start any traveling that you do that way. To ask God's blessings, to give Him thanks, and to ask Him His blessings on what we do. It's not a real complicated matter. It's pretty simple. It is. Well, join me. I hope you will. Lord Jesus, simply thank you. Thank you for this day, Lord. The ability, Father, that you have given us to be up and about this day, to breathe, to walk about, to share your goodness, to praise you, to have safety in travel, and Lord, to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone to hopefully encourage your people to love and good deeds, to encourage them and to glorify you. I pray your blessings on this broadcast, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for the work and the lifetime that has gone in to enable this to happen. Lord, the teaching and the moving of your Holy Spirit that it is so evident, Lord. And I thank you that my blessings overflow. My cup overflows, Lord, with blessings. And I thank you for that. And I pray that, Lord, I say, here I am, use me to share your good news, your gospel, your word, your truth, your encouragement with those that look to you for health, welfare, and peace and prosperity. And Lord, as we look to you as King and Savior and Lawgiver and Judge and Friend, we thank you. Thank you that because of your love, you consider us. Guide and direct me this evening, Lord, and let all that we do from here at Scriptures for America Ministry, Lord, let it all glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. I've been getting reports this last week that the newsletter is getting delivered. That's good. Volume 5. And we are starting next week on Volume 6. Good Lord willing. And so you should have had that. Let us know sometime. Drop us a note. Let us know what you think of it. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. This one, the main article, Never Give Up, kind of continues on from Volume 3 and 4. With some thoughts from Jason and myself on the times that we're in and the way that the enemy goes about. They don't just come out and say they want to destroy us. No, they get a cardinal from New Jersey to say, oh, yes, brother, you must give up your Second Amendment right so that we can have peace in the land. We're looking for a voluntary self-restraint from the Second Amendment so that gun violence can be done away with. Oh, brother, yes, won't you join us in this? And it's straight out of the pits of hell. And in preparing this article, Jason and I both spoke with many people of the Remnant. They had not heard of this. Many have heard the ATF pushing for the pistol brace ban after they agreed to it and all the mess that goes with that, looking to make from 29 to 40 million Americans felons. Now, since we did this article, I just saw today or yesterday's paper that some courts are coming against the government on this, and that's a good thing. I know that there's been a few lawsuits, especially in Texas and with certain gun groups that have been approved. Our enemy doesn't stop. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible, a very simple Bible truth and teaching. One of the first ones, I've mentioned it before, but one of the first ones that I taught my little boy when he was a little boy. He's 33 now and not so little. But when he was a little boy, it was, by their fruits you shall know them. And I taught him that in an orange grove in Florida. We lived down in central Florida, lots of orange groves. And we were walking through an orange grove one day, and I asked him, son, what kind of tree is this? Is it an orange tree or a grapefruit tree? Or a tangerine tree? And he said, well, Daddy, I don't know. There's no fruit on it. I can't tell. And he was correct, because all the leaves of those citrus trees, for the most part, look alike. And it's very hard to tell an orange tree from a grapefruit tree from a tangerine tree until you have some fruit on it. So a little bit later in the year, once there was fruit out, well, then you could go look and see, what kind of tree is this? Well, Daddy, that tree has tangerines on it, so it's a tangerine tree. And that tree over there has grapefruit on it, so it's a grapefruit tree. And you could tell, see, even a child can tell that simple Bible teaching, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, that applies in our life today, and it always has. And when you have, whether it's a cardinal or the pope or the president or whoever, wanting to take your firearm away, wanting you to voluntarily have self-restraint from the Second Amendment, recognize that fruit for what it is, that it's rotten, that it's a lie burped up out of the pits of hell, that that Cardinal Tobin from New Jersey or wherever it is, Newark, is just a bastard doing the will of his father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It is as simple as that. You don't have to get worked up about it. Sometimes I do. And when you have government entities working one way, and then what do? Then they change their rules. They change their minds and do something else. Well, we're used to that. Mentions in this article, Never Give Up, James Madison's in Federalist number 48, a warning, a timeless warning. And then we put in a quote from a book from 2013. We don't carry the book, and I don't even have it. I looked it up. I found the quote, and I need to order the book to get it in. You can order it online, but it's called Resistance to Tyrants, Obedience to God, The Mutual Influence of Religion and Reason at the American Founding. And it talks about an attitude during the American Revolution, an attitude, a cursing of apathy. It's what it is. I encourage you to read it. We give about a page and a half quote from the book. It was very interesting to me. I'm hoping to work it into a message for a Sunday sermon, because it shows a spirit that is displeasing to God, but is, I think, very evident in our land today. Anyway, Never Give Up is the title of it. So we encourage you to do that very thing, not to give up. Sometimes it's hard to not to want to do that. And when we just see the things that are going on in the day, in our times, in our government, in our school system, in our homes sometimes, in our churches, in the business, in the worldwide economic system that we're part of today, it's hard. I want to start in Psalms 37 tonight. Okay, Psalms 37. So you're gonna move away from the newsletter. If you haven't got your newsletter, you can let us know. We'd be glad to, or if you'd like another copy to hand out, we'd be glad to do that. We print a few extra, and they've been very popular. If you're not on the newsletter list, we'd be glad to send you one. Emails, we've been working on that this week, and we should have that. I would think we'll probably get that emailed out tomorrow if it hasn't already been emailed out. And if you'd like to be on that email list, you just let us know. I want to go to Psalms 37. The Psalms are written prayers, you might say, they are the Word of God. They are encouragement. And at times, we need encouragement. I know you do, because I know that I do. And we are of the same spirit. We are. That's what these scriptures are here for. They are for believers and non-believers alike, but they are. Psalms 37, verse 1 starts out and says, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers." So when we see those Cardinal Tobins and the three-letter alphabet soup gang from the government, whether it's ATF or FBI or CIA or IRS or whoever it is, they're evildoers. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. They do. But the Bible tells us, God's Word tells us, don't fret. Don't be envious. Verse 2 says, "For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." See, they might be in season right now. It might be where they are flourishing and they're blossoming and blooming and they are just at the height right now. But if you got a garden, you know that things, they get right there just like it says, like the green herb, and then they fade away, and then they are no more. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness. And the link for that, let's see, that's in 3. Cultivate faithfulness says, let me highlight it here. It says, feed securely or feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land and feed on God's faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, verse 4 says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Does anybody else need to hear that tonight? I know I need to. Rest in the Lord. Rest. I don't have time to rest. Verse 7, when it says that rest, that also means be still. Be still. Be still in the Lord. Sometimes you just have to sit down and take a breather. It's good to do that maybe in the morning or the evening, to take time to do that, to be still. We see about it in other places. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. We get it all throughout the scripture that he is not slow concerning his promises. And he, the things that are happening today, I've got some, you know, the economy, the U.S. credit got downgraded. Downgraded. The economy is in a turmoil, and there's a reason why. And the indictments coming against ex-President Trump, they are just roaring because the enemies are scared to death of him. God has got these things set up, allowing these things to happen. They are in place for his glory. And so he will be praised for them. Verse 10 says, yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. I yearn for that little while. We're living that little while right now. It's we're in the middle of it. We're right between those two words, little and while. I think that's where we are. We're right in the middle of it. But the wicked man, his ways, what's worked for him in the past, we've seen that, we've talked about that. What's worked for Disney in the past ain't working no more. What's worked for Bud Light to make them in the past the number one selling beer in America for years? Not anymore. Not anymore. Target has lost billions, and other companies as well. And so what has worked in the past for this Babylonian whore is not working any more, because yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. It goes on and says, you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Verse 14 says, the wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Verse 16, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. It says, the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord sustains the righteous. And the last verse I'm going to read here out of Psalms 37, verse 27 and 28. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. Looks like my audio's a little hot. I'll back it down. Yes, sir, Todd, I'll sure do that. Sorry about that. Thank you for letting me know. A little excited tonight, I guess. And I'll back that down. Maybe that's a little better. And but again, Remnant phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. And we'll see if that helps. Send Todd a little text. Todd's a great guy. He has been with us forever, our broadcast and computer guy, and what a great man he is. So hope that works. So again, Psalms 37, 27, and 28. Depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. And so see here, he is, even here, God's asking, pleading, pushing for what? Repentance. Depart from evil. Depart from evil. And we've spoken about that quite a bit. We have spoken about that in that the times that we're in, because these companies are doing these things, because they're pushing and promoting the sin and the filth and the debauchery and the ungodliness, whether it's homosexuality or transgenderism or mutilating children or whatever it is, the more they push that, the more people are repelled by it. The more people are, as we read there, departing, depart from evil, turn away from it, God says. And as the evil grows, more people do turn away from it. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I heard a man say that one time in a blog. He said, you know, when people are turned away and repelled from this evil, they're turning away from evil and they're moving in the right direction. And they are. And they're drawing closer to God and closer to Christianity, whether they know it or not. Whether they know it or not. It's like when, who was it, Peter or Paul was... I guess it was Paul that goes and finds the altar to the unknown God. And he explains to the people, hey, let me introduce you to who you've been worshiping at this altar of the unknown God. It is the God of gods. And so that is a good thing. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Moving to current events, this one I did see. The establishment is up in arms about the U.S. credit downgrade, but don't let them fool you. That caught my eye. And so Fitch Ratings downgraded the U.S. government's credit from AAA to AA+. They explained the decision. They said, we expect the general government deficit to rise to 6.3% of the gross domestic product from 3.7% in 2022, reflecting weaker federal revenues, new spending initiatives, and a higher interest burden. Tighter credit conditions, weakening business investment, and a slowdown in consumption will push the U.S. economy into a mild recession the end of this year and beginning of next year. Well, I am not a financial expert by any... Nobody would argue that fact with me. But when you have a country that their general government deficit almost doubles in a year from 3.7% of their GDP, their gross domestic product, to 6.3%, almost a doubling. That ain't good. That's not. They further explained the rating downgrade reflects the expected deterioration over the next 3 years of a growing general government debt burden and the erosion of governance relative to AA and AAA rated peers. Due to repeated debt limit standoffs and last-minute resolutions, blah, blah, blah. It keeps on going, and I can send this to you. They talk about how, back in 2011, they tried to do this warning and were sued by the Obama administration. Says here, bottom line, the core economic problem that caused the downgrade is America's expanding, that means ever-growing, $76.4 billion trade deficit. That means all the agricultural trade that we do with China and All the African nations and the Eastern nations and the other Western nations and all of the trade that we do, we lose. We spend $76.4 billion more than we send out. That's the deficit. So that's why. And again, it is Babylon falling. What used to work, what used to be fine, it ain't working no more. Because Babylon's going down. Now again, don't fret, right? Don't fret. Can I change that up with some good news? Can I give you some good news? How about that? Anybody like good news out there? I like good news when it comes to guns. I don't know if you do. I do. I like good news when it comes to guns. Gun sales have been stratospheric, I didn't even know that was a word, in the last 4 years. The last 4 years, it says July, because we're just into August, so the results came back for July, marked the 48th straight month. That's 4 years in which gun sales passed the 1 million mark. 4 years straight. How about that? That is, got a spokesman here says, the sales mark is unlike anything the nation has ever seen before, probably because of leftist politicians insisting guns should be restricted or banned, and the increasing concern for safety. And that's very true, because we all see, I talk to you, Remnant, you call, and I talk to you during the week, and we text and email, and the safety concerns. The violence is growing and growing and growing. And what are people doing? People are saying, I've had enough. I'm not going to sit back. I talked about that last Sunday during the scriptural review of the news. The man down in Texas had his truck stolen. And he tracks it to the other side of the mall and goes, and the man and woman that stole it makes him get out, sits down, calls the police, and the thief pulls a gun and shoots him. Well, he pulls his, or had already, and he kills the guy. And the police chief says, well, you know, he did what he had to do. We'd rather you call us, but because it is so, it is beyond what we ever thought it would be. And the gun sales are over 1 million a month for the last 4 years. That's just crazy. But it is, like this article says, indicative of the strong and sustained appetite for law and order by law-abiding Americans to take ownership of their Second Amendment rights. The left wing, the Democrats, the people can say all they want about, the massive riots and attack on the nation's capital on January 6th, while they ignored 2 summers worth of rioting and looting and burning, and they called those peaceful protests where cities were burned down and people were killed. And the American people aren't going for it. They're not standing for it. And you know, it's not just racist white rednecks that are doing this. Nope. Reports show that there are more women buying firearms in the last 4 years than ever before. There are more blacks buying firearms. And that's lawfully, with background checks and all that. And more urban dwellers than ever before. Those were the 3 huge increases in the last 4 years. And, you know, Jason mentioned it, I think, Saturday, that folks, they're available. Now, we sure believe in firearms and the right to keep and bear arms, and that it is our Christian duty to provide for our families. And that includes providing safety, that they are safe as much as it's possible, right? As much as it's up to us, we are to do that, to provide for them so that we are not infidels. And part of that is providing for their defense and their safety. And right now, guns and ammo are available. They are. Good ammo prices. You have to shop around a little bit. Some places a little better than others. But the stores, the Sportsman's Warehouse, the Menards, the I don't know about Menards. I don't get over there. I don't guess they have firearms. But there's a big Shields down in Colorado, and the sporting goods stores, the Sportsman's Warehouses, the it escapes me the name. But anyway, guns and ammo are available, and they're affordable right now. Even in this economy, they are. Now, you might not get your, you know, super Colt Python limited edition and blah, blah, blah. But firearms is a ways and a means to protect yourself and for fun shooting. It's great recreation. It's great training and recreation at the same time. They are available. They are available. And so while they're available and while they're affordable is the time to, if you have to spend some money to do it, to do that. You don't want to wait till the power goes out. You don't want to wait till maybe in 6 months when there's not as much ammo available, or maybe more laws are passed or judgments and rulings, just like the ATF has done with several things that they've done, this pistol brace and all types of things. Who knows? They could come up and say, well, you know, any ammo manufactured before or after a certain date, you can't have anymore. And they could just go confiscate it. Who knows? Who knows? But it's available now. So now's the time to do something like that. We've tried over the years to hopefully remind you to be prepared. Certainly, first and foremost, to be prepared spiritually. Like we read in Psalms, not to fret, but to be prepared, to trust in the Lord, to put your trust in Him, and to be doing the things that He tells us to do. That's first and foremost, absolutely. But we have story after story about those people that, like Joseph, that had time to prepare. Noah had time to prepare. And Joseph did. And they were saved by being obedient to the word of God in preparing. And that's our encouragement to you. We do our best to be prepared spiritually, to, like it says, to not fret, to forgive, to do our best to love our neighbor as ourself, to do our best to honor God in all that we do with our first fruits and in all that we do. But we're to be prepared physically as well. I firmly believe that. I know Jason does, and I know Pastor Peters did. And so we encourage you, and this is one way. There's been 48 million people over the last 4 years that have leaned in that direction and done something about it. So I encourage you to do that while you can. You know, Noah, he had 100 years to build that ark. And Joseph was told, you got 7 good years. He had 7 years to prepare for the 7 bad. Now, we haven't been given, I'm not saying that's what's coming. We haven't been given that type of directive by God. But right now, it's available. And as affordable as it's been for years. Anyway, again, Remnant phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Don't follow Tucker Carlson too much, but I saw this headline yesterday and printed it out. It says, Capitol Police Chief calls January 6th a, quote, cover-up in a leaked, unaired Tucker interview. It says, former U.S. Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund described January 6th as a cover-up in a leaked interview with Tucker Carlson that Fox News refused to air. And he said that he has over 3 decades of law enforcement experience, served as the Capitol Police Chief from 2019 to 2021. And he goes on and says everything appears to be a cover-up. it just goes on and on, and that to the point of saying there were federal people all throughout the crowd. And I just mention that because, once again, more criminal charges against former President Trump. The left is scared. They are scared to death of that man and what he represents to the American people. See, to make America great again, that goes against everything that these ungodly leftist, communist sons of hell want for this country. Got emailed this article here by one of the remnant. I thank you for sending it in. And it's a little article by, I guess it came from World News Daily. David Kupalian, I guess. It was just from like July 25th, but it says, why the elites hate and fear and endlessly persecute Donald J. Trump. And it's a great article. I'll be glad to print it and send it to you. It talks about it being a good versus evil contest. And it's evident, it has come out that the Biden, Joe Biden and his family are a crime family, that they are guilty of sedition, that they have raked in millions of dollars selling access to President Biden and to unrighteous and unlawful access to American secrets, including to China and Russia. It's treason. And what did they do? Well, they accused President Trump of that. See, that's what the enemy does. I got to share that with a Judeo-Christian this week. He was talking about somebody that called him a liar. And he said, I'm not a liar. And I said, well, that's what the enemy does, brother. They call you what they are. And I reminded him, didn't the Pharisees and the Sadducees do that against Jesus? Didn't they lie about Jesus Christ? They told him he had a demon and he had all this. And no, it was them that were that way. And Pastor Peter's taught that for years, that's what the enemy does. They call you a racist when they hate the races. They call you intolerant when they're and have no tolerance whatsoever. They call you a hater when it's them that hate. And we love because our Lord and Savior loved us first. And that's why we put these truths out as to the best of our ability, because we love our God and we love His people. So anyway, this article, why they hate Donald Trump. You know, it's evident to see, sometimes you have to see the contrast. It's evident to see that the O'Biden's policies in every area, from intentionally destroying America's energy sector and ripping that up out of the ground to intentionally engineering this massive foreign invasion that we've had, starting with the southern border and now the northern border as well, it's all on purpose. And before them, Biden and Clinton, we had 8 years of Barack Obama. I like how he puts it here. This immoral end justifies the means. Marxist radical who employed all the far left's revolutionary warfare tactics, espoused by his mentor, Rules for Radicals, author Saul Alinsky. And that's still going on now. Propelled to the White House on promises that America's first black president would heal any remaining racial tensions, he did just the opposite, continually fomenting and manufacturing racial hatreds where none or fewer none existed. You know, the attacks on the police department, that came from Obama. And now with O'Biden in there, it's just Obama's third term. We've talked about that before. You hear us saying that, the O'Biden administration. But ever since President Trump in 2015 announced he was going to run for president, he has been public enemy number one to these elites, to these deep state, to the swamp that he, I think, tried to drain. And it is fear and hatred that we see. Now, I'll admit you, whether it's a sin or not, I voted for President Trump in 2016 and in 2020. I did. Right or wrong, good or bad, because I thought that was what, that was the direction the nation needs to head. But, everything that Trump proposed think about it. Think back on how it was from 2016 to 2020, making America energy independent, rebuilding the military in a positive way, negotiating more favorable trade agreements with other nations. And since we don't have that, what do we have now? Well, we have our credit rating decreasing because we have a $76.4 billion trade deficit. And it just looks like that's going to get worse. But from 2016 to 2020, it was getting better. Our borders were more secure. And so all these things, they tied in with, I think, what most of us think of as good American values, right? That seem to be sensible to most middle-class Americans. But see, the elites, the left-wing liberals, whether they're in the government, the media, culture, academia, in the universities, whatever, that's just the opposite to them. That's a threat to them to make America great again. I firmly believe, and I could be wrong as rain. Okay, I could. I admit that. I am not a political professional, not a political analyst, no. But I think that President Trump does have an authentic love and respect for the nation of America. Does he have it all figured out? No. No more than I do, no more than you do. Just other things figured out. Maybe we've got a few things figured out that he doesn't. But I think he does have an authentic love and respect for America as most middle-class Americans desire it, for its people, for its military, its key institutions. But see, that's the problem with the Obamas and the O'Bidens and the Clintons and the New Yorkers and the Californians, and the media. That's the problem. Because, see, they're on a communist socialist bent to destroy the middle class. My God, how can you make America great again when we're trying to destroy it? And they are scared to death. In March, President Trump was indicted in New York on 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. Falsifying business. And now, just more recently, he's been indicted on what, all but treason? It's just for fraud? Again, we're not to fret. Oh, I get worked up about it a little bit. Mainly, it's just to make sure that others see this. These charges, they say, he could be facing over 400 years in prison. I like this quote here. It says, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich talks about this point in a recent article headlined, "The Wrong Indictments." This is what he writes. He says, "The left has been desperately trying to stop Trump since he announced his candidacy in 2015. Remember the made-up Trump Tower Moscow scandal that came back, proved to be made up, the phony Russia-Trump collusion scandal, the made-for-TV impeachment efforts, all that? You didn't hear anything about the FBI lying to court judges for violations of their oaths of office, for pursuing cases they knew were based on a lie, for leaking phony information to undermine Trump. You remember old Hillary Clinton had all those classified documents on her illegal home server? Oh, well, I didn't know. I thought they were okay. You know, how many of her emails ended up on old Anthony Weiner's laptop? Right? She had more than, what, 32,000 protected secret emails, and nothing was ever said. Nothing was ever done. And people are seeing this mess in Ukraine, remembering the millions of dollars that Hunter Biden was paid as, what was it, as with Burisma. The Ukrainian natural gas firm Burisma paid Hunter Biden millions of dollars. Why? Because he sat on their board. What the hell does Hunter Biden know about sitting on a gas firm's board? It's called bribery, treason. Treason is what it's called, and nothing, just nothing, nothing. I'm telling you, they're scared to death of the man, okay? Not because he's somebody perfect, because of how he makes the America, because he loves America, and how he makes the middle-class Americans feel. That I remember seeing an interview when he was president, and it was with a seafood person up in Maine, okay? The family been in the seafood business for like four generations, and they would go out and get seafood right up next to the Canadian, you know, the little demarcation line, whatever. And the man was telling President Trump that the Canadians can sell that seafood to the European nations at about, I think, 40 or about half price of what he can sell to, because he has to pay all the export duties and all types of stuff that the American government forces him to do. And he says, I'm pulling the same fish out of the same ocean 50 yards away, and I've got to sell it for, you know, five times as much, and I can't compete anymore. President Trump had one of his guys. He's like, hey, Bill, can you look into this and let's get this fixed? And the guy says, yes, sir, Mr. President, we can. And see, because he cared. And the American people are not used to seeing that. They're not. And the left is scared to death. They are. That's sure my take on it. They're scared to death of him and how and the response that he gets from Joe the plumber, from middle-class America, that our government, the elites, the media, the Hollywood, the bankers, that they are all in on doing their very best to destroy. And it's just, I think that's how it is. And so they are. But see, I think that it's going to backfire on them. Just like as they've had Bud Light pushing this homosexual agenda and transgenderism, and they've had Jack Daniels push and promote this, they were pushing and promoting this, I don't think they're doing it anymore, I think they backed off, but this drag queen bartender BS kind of stuff, they'd lose business. And so just as corporate America, it seems like most of corporate America is going along with all this, what are most Americans doing? They're backing off and they're saying, no, I'm going the other way. I'm going to spend my money somewhere else. They're fighting the war. More and more people are being brought into this spiritual battle. They don't even realize it's a spiritual battle. You and I might. We realize that there's an enemy behind this stuff, behind all these things happening. That's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Many of our people don't see it, but they're being brought into the war, brought into the battle by the evil. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I think that as the enemy continues to come against former President Trump, that it is going to turn more and more people apart from them and waken them up and drive more people to his side, to his cause. That's just my thought. That's my two cents. Probably two new pennies, not much copper in it, but that's my two cents. That's my thoughts on it. You know, is President Trump our savior? No, not at all. Not at all. But, you know, when you read back through the Old Testament, when you had good kings, when you had kings that tried, things went better for the king, for the people, for the nation, for the surrounding peoples and nations. It went better. And when you had a king like we have today, that is just a puppet, we understand that, but the policies that are out there are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-American. That's not good for me. That's not good for you. That's not good for this nation. At least not those of us that love this nation, that love this land that God has given us, that love this Christian republic that was fought for and given to us. Whew. Well, Remnant, I'm done. That's all I got tonight, I'm afraid. My voice is about gone. I want to invite you to join us Saturday morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. You can do that right here at scripturesforamerica.org, 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Hope you can join us. We'll have the phone lines open and do our best to take your calls, answer your questions, and it's a good time of godly fellowship among godly men and women that join us, not here in the studio, but I know they do all over the country, and it's a good battery recharge. It really is. It's good for us to spend time with fellow believers. So hope you'll join us. And then Sunday morning at church, join us again at scripturesforamerica.org. And that'll be starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Eastern. And we start out there with a scriptural review of the news. And then we have a timeless pulpit truth. And I'm working on a message for this Sunday. So hopefully we'll have that as a live message and partake of communion. And then we replay the timeless pulpit truth. We played the Bible Psalms part one by Pastor Peters last week. And I'm hoping that Jason has the Bible Psalms part two this week. I'm not sure. I hope so. Because those are a great teaching tool, a great teaching messages on what happened then and what's happening now for sure. So hope you'll join us. Remnant, thank you for your prayers, for your support, for allowing us to continue to be here and to share the Bible truths that we do. God bless, and we will talk to you Saturday morning.
Choices since the day that we were born, there were voices that told us right from wrong. If we had listened, we wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices we made. I was tempted. By an early age I found I liked sinning. Oh, I should have turned it down. There were prophets, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I made. We had choices. Since the day that we were born, there were voices that told us right from wrong. If we had listened, we wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices we made. I guess I'm paying.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.